Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today you'll be listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Sean.
Good morning again and happy Sabbath. In just a few minutes, we're going to take our Bibles and we're going to open them up and we're going to read God's Word. You know, in reading God's Word, we find confidence, we find direction, we find assurance, we find hope. God's Word can speak to us, does speak to us, and ministers to us in whatever circumstance of life that we may be in. You know, over the last few days, some have been feeling a little anxious. If you recently went to the grocery store or to Meijer or Walmart or Target and were looking for some essential items, you may have found bare, empty shelves. We tend to do that, don't we? When we're not sure what's going to come or what's around the corner or when something has shaken our confidence or we think, I'm going to have to sit in my bedroom for 8 weeks and wait this thing out, we want something we can hang on to, something tangible that gives us confidence and gives us a sense that we're in charge. You know, the reality is none of us are in charge. Oh, we find things in our lives that we can control, but ultimately, we are not in charge. We have a God, though, that is. We have a God who is in charge. He is the ruler yet. But let's take just a few minutes and talk about what has been absorbing so much of our nations, our states, our cities, our families' attention over the last few days. Coronavirus, COVID-19. You know, there are 25 cases now of coronavirus in the state of Michigan. In our nation, it's over 1,000, and there have been 50 or so deaths in the United States from coronavirus. And so it's something we're rightly concerned about and wanting to be cautious about. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, and you ought to be careful about getting advice from people who are not qualified professionals. But I can share with you information from the Centers for Disease Control that is helpful to keep in mind as we think about coronavirus, COVID-19, and our response and how we might handle it. You know, the first thing to keep in mind is we should do everything we can to prevent the spread of illness. And a great way to do that is to wash your hands often. In fact, you should wash your hands for about 20 seconds at a time. And here's a great way to do that, is you go to wash your hands, sing a song. And a song you could sing that takes about 20 seconds for you to get through is one verse of, I've Been Redeemed. So that's a great song to sing as you're washing your hands. It's much better than singing Happy Birthday to you two times twice. I've been redeemed, and as you get to the end, all my sins are washed away, I've been redeemed. And you can be thinking in your mind, all my germs are washed away, right? I have clean hands. So wash your hands frequently and spend 20 seconds doing so. Sing that song as you wash your hands. Just think how wonderful a witness that would be. You're at a restaurant and you're in the bathroom and you're washing your hands, you can sing that out and everybody will look at you with admiration. That you have the courage to sing a solo. Dave Fenwick, that's what he said he's going to be doing. And so I look forward to hearing testimonies at our next joint Sabbath School program about how God has used Dave's singing to minister to others. So 20 seconds, that's a great thing to do. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds at a time. Another way that you can make sure that you're doing all you can to prevent the spread of illness, whether it's coronavirus or something else, is don't touch your eyes, your nose, or your mouth with unwashed hands. In fact, someone told me this morning, this is the triangle of death, right here. And if you avoid touching the triangle of death, you're going to be good. And so keep that in mind. Don't touch your face, your eyes, your nose, your mouth with unwashed hands, which isn't going to be a problem because you're washing your hands all the time, aren't you? And you're singing, I've been redeemed so frequently. There's another thing you can do, and that is just simply avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep a little bit of distance to those who are ill, and that's good advice to keep in mind whatever time of the year it is as we're thinking about preventing the spread of illness. And then finally, clean and disinfect surfaces regularly. It's important to clean because we don't want grimy countertops and doorknobs and light switches, but it's also important to disinfect so that germs can be killed. Use a disinfectant, regularly clean and disinfect those surfaces. And these four simple steps, if we implement them consistently, will go a long ways towards preventing the spread of illness. But what happens if we get ill? First of all, stay home. If you're ill, stay home. And that is good advice to keep in mind. If you're concerned about coronavirus and the potential for contracting COVID-19, call your doctor. If you develop a fever and any accompanying symptoms like a cough or shortness of breath, those could be some indications that you may be infected. And so call your doctor. Your doctor will appreciate you not just showing up at his home or his office or even in the ER. Just make a phone call. That's the first step that you should take. And if you have some more of these significant symptoms that accompany it, get medical attention immediately. If you develop some of these emergency warning signs, which include difficulty breathing, persistent pain or pressure in your chest, new confusion or inability to rouse, or bluish lips or face, seek medical attention immediately. Simple things that we can keep in mind for making sure that we do our part in a faithful way to prevent the spread of illness and to take care of those who may have contracted illness. And then if you are someone with an at-risk population, maybe you're a little bit older, you have some underlying health problems, heart issues, or perhaps you have a compromised immune system, contact your healthcare provider early. People at a higher risk for serious illness from COVID-19 should contact their healthcare provider early, even if their illness is very mild. It always is a good idea to contact your healthcare provider. So what are we doing as a church family as we are responding as good citizens to the concerns that exist in our community and as we think about doing our part to prevent the spread of coronavirus? Well, as you know, our weekly Sabbath worship services will be online only through March 28th. So this Sabbath and the following two Sabbaths, we will invite you to join us via our live stream on our YouTube channel, and we will worship at a distance, but still have a sense of being together. Our Sabbath school classes are canceled as well through the end of March. And most of our weekday church service events, though, most of our weekday events will continue as scheduled for now. The recommendation that we are following that has come from various health organizations and even our government is that events over 100 people shouldn't happen. And that means that our worship service, our typical approach to worship service, has had to be changed. But smaller events, if people are well, are perfectly fine to continue with. And so our midweek prayer meeting service on Tuesdays at 6:30, that will continue. Our Tuesday at 6:30 as well, depression and anxiety recovery seminar, that will continue as well. But here's something to keep in mind. If you're ill, where should you be? You should be at home. That's right. So here are a few questions you can ask before coming to any of our church events, the through-the-week events that we're still continuing to have. Ask the question, have you been in contact with someone who is sick? If you have been, be extra cautious and just stay home. Secondly, do you have any of the following symptoms? Do you have a cough or shortness of breath or fever? If you do, where should you stay? Stay home. That's right. We want to share as Christians, but there are certain things we shouldn't share, and illness is one of them. And then finally, Ask yourself, have you traveled internationally in the last month? Now, you probably don't even have to ask yourself that question because you know instinctively whether or not you've traveled internationally. And if you have traveled internationally in the last month, we're asking you not to come to any of our church events, even those happening during the week that are smaller gatherings. Again, this is not out of fear, but this is simply practical, common sense steps that we can take to be faithful as we are seeking to be good citizens in our community and good witnesses of our Christian faith and trust in God. And then finally, those of you who have students in Holland Adventist Academy, you have had ample communication about what is happening with our school, but Holland Adventist Academy is closed through March 29, and then school will resume on March 30, but students will be staying at home and will be utilizing a distance learning approach. Again, some simple steps that we're taking. Actually, that's not so simple, is it? Developing a distance learning program on the fly. But steps that we're taking to be good citizens and make sure that we're doing our part to prevent the spread of coronavirus. You know, as we think about our response, as we think about events that are happening in the world around us, we should ask ourselves the question, should we be afraid? And the simple answer to that, of course, is no. Of course, we shouldn't be afraid. Jesus, in his final evening with his disciples before his betrayal and crucifixion, in John chapter 14, shared advice with his followers that speaks to us as Christ's followers today. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." Think about that for a moment. Were the next few days peaceful days for the followers of Jesus? Jesus is going to be snatched away from them. Jesus is going to be crucified. Their master is going to die literally before their very eyes. They're going to be holed up in the upper room over the weekend, afraid that they may be arrested. These were not peaceful days for the followers of Jesus, and yet Jesus spoke to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What is the advice of Jesus? When we face uncertainty, when we face events that shake us, Jesus encourages us, do not be afraid. Do not let your heart be troubled. Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. What is going to be the natural human response when events take place around us? When we go to the grocery store and we can't find toilet paper, what are the natural response from our heart? Is to be troubled, even to be afraid. But Jesus tells us that in the midst of uncertainty, we can have peace. It's not a peace that we find within us. It's a peace that we find from above. It's a peace that Jesus gives us. It's the calm assurance of knowing that my life is secure in God's care. That whatever may happen in my life and in the world around me, I can have confidence. I can have peace. That's a witness. That's a witness just as surely as Dave Fenwick singing, "I've been redeemed," as he washes his hands. It's a witness. When we choose to accept Christ's peace in the midst of a world that is filled with anxiety, we can have confidence. When King David was passing the reins of the kingdom over to King Solomon, his son, he shared with Solomon some wonderful advice. He shared with Solomon advice that can give us confidence and courage as well. You know, Solomon was a young man as he was preparing to sit on the throne. And he was given a task, a monumental task, of building up the temple in Jerusalem. know, today we have a similar task as the family of God. We are to build up God's church, right? God's temple. It's a living temple built with people, not with stones and wood and gold and precious metals. We are given the task of building up God's family, building up God's church as faithful witnesses. And that can seem like a monumental task. That can seem like an overwhelming proposition that God expects through us to build up his kingdom. King David said to his son in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20, "Then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished." I like those words, be strong and courageous. When others are fearful, God's people can be courageous. When others tremble at world events, God's people can be strong. But we're not just strong and courageous. David said to Solomon, be strong and courageous and act. Take action. When we are fearful, it's hard for us to act. It's hard for us to share. It's hard for us to think of others. It's hard for us to be good citizens in the community that God has placed us in. But when we accept Christ's peace, when we accept his strength, when we allow him to give us courage, we can still act. We don't have to be immobilized by fear. With Jesus in our hearts, with his peace, with his strength, with his courage, we can take action. And so as we face the uncertainties of the era in which we live, let's not be dismayed. Let's not be afraid. Let's be courageous and strong and continue the work of building up God's temple, building up God's house, his living house, his kingdom, his family. Let's continue to be faithful witnesses to him. Let's continue to look for opportunities to share the truths of God's word. Let's continue to look for ways that we can serve those around us. Be strong and courageous and act. Jesus has told us that fear in the world around us is one of the signs of the nearness of Christ's return. We know that no specific event is definitive proof that we're living in the last days. I mean, after all, Jesus says there have always been wars and rumors of wars. There's been pestilence and famine and natural disasters. That stuff has always been happening since sin entered this world. But the cumulative effect of seeing event after event after event, it reminds us that we live in a world that desperately needs Jesus to return. And as we study the prophecies of the Bible, especially those found in Daniel, which the adult Sabbath school lessons have been focusing on this quarter, we see evidence that we are getting close to going home. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus, verses 25 through 28, speaks about the nearness of Christ's return and some of the events and some of the attitudes and the responses of the world during that time. Jesus says, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the earth. What is it that makes men's hearts tremble and fear? It's the expectation of what's coming on the earth. Well, here's a question. What is coming on the earth? Oh, yes, there are problems and issues and pestilence and famine, and we don't minimize any of that. The reality is that all of those things impact people, and people are what God loves most. Any heart that's touched by fear has the empathy of God. Any troubled soul is one to whom God seeks to draw close and minister to. Any hurting family, any person touched with illness, these are people God loves. These are people God cares about. We never want to be dismissive of the problems and the troubles of this life. As we consider, however, what is ultimately coming, we know it's Jesus. Yes, this successive sequence of events that rattle our world are reminders to us, men and women of faith, that Jesus is coming soon. And so while other people may tremble, while others may be fearful, and while, yes, these events and circumstances of the world in which we are in touch our lives, we, as Jesus tells us in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. We have confidence and courage and strength, and we can take action in continuing to build up the family of God because we know what's coming. We know who's coming, and that's Jesus Christ. Lift up the trumpet, loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Anytime. Anytime that difficulty arises, whether it's illness or it's a financial problem or a relational trouble, anytime we have difficulty, tribulation, troubles, uncertainties, we should take those opportunities as opportunities to reflect on our spiritual condition. As people of faith, seeing the condition of the world around us and knowing that we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ, recognizing that Jesus again and again has told us that we should always be ready for his return. Anytime difficulty arises, we should take it as an opportunity to reflect on our spiritual condition. In the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 37, 1 Kings chapter 8, we find this in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 6:28 as well. We find an encouragement to God's people when trouble arises. We find outlined how God's people should respond. 1 Kings chapter 8. And let's look at verse 37, beginning in verse 37. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, and what is pestilence? That's widespread illness. We would think of this could be considered a pestilence. Coronavirus could be considered a pestilence. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, if there is blight or mildew, locust or grasshopper, if their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer or supplication is made by any man or by all your people Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart and spreading his hands toward his house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, forgive and act and render to each according to his ways, whose heart you know. For you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you have given to their fathers. What was it that God's people were encouraged to do when trouble arose, whatever quarter it came from, whether it was illness or an enemy attacking or the crops were not coming in, whatever it might be, God's people were challenged to know the affliction of their own heart, to know the condition of their own lives, and to reach out to God, to spread their hands, to look to God, to pray, and to commune with their Creator. That's good advice for us, isn't it? when trouble affects us, to use that as an opportunity to reflect on our own spiritual condition and to reach out to God. We can have peace. We can have peace when we know that our lives are right with God. You know, it's hard to have peace, isn't it, when there's something between you and God? I know in my life, it's hard to have peace when I know there's something between me and God, whether it's a cherished sin or an unconfessed sin or an unrepentant heart or whatever it might be, an action, a deed that I know is not in harmony with God's will. It's hard to have peace. I sometimes wonder if the anxiety and fear that we experience as Christians at events that happen in the world around us, if it's not so much the events in the world around us that are giving us anxiety and fear, it's the sneaking thought, suspicion that maybe we're not right with God. And so we have a lack of peace, and our hearts are filled with fear, because way down deep inside, we really aren't sure if our lives are in God's hands. Difficulty is an opportunity to reflect on our own spiritual condition. When peace is lacking, let's turn to Jesus. If we confess our sins, we're reminded in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can have peace. In a world of uncertainty, you can have peace. When trouble comes, you can have peace. When illness afflicts you, you can have peace. When relationships crumble, you can have peace. As long as your relationship with Jesus is strong. Trouble is an opportunity for us to reflect on our own spiritual condition and reach out to God to ensure that we are right with Him. Trouble is also a time for us to reach out to others. Remember Solomon? Be strong and courageous and do what? Act. This isn't the time for us to sit on our hands or twiddle our thumbs. We are called, we are given a mission as men and women, boys and girls of faith. We're given a mission to be active in building up God's church, building up His kingdom, building up His temple with living stones, reaching out to share Christ's love with others. It was in the 1500s that a little village in Germany, Wittenberg, was afflicted with the Black Death, the plague that was sweeping across Europe. And those of you who are aware of some church history know it was in that village that a well-known individual, Martin Luther, happened to live. He was one of the great reformers. And when the deadly plague, the Black Death, came to Wittenberg, Luther was encouraged to flee. I mean, after all, he was an important figure in the Protestant Reformation. We needed to protect him. The prince who was responsible for that community and was a friend of Luther's pled with him to leave. We can't risk you being afflicted with this deadly disease. Luther wrote a pamphlet titled, Whether One May Flee a Deadly Plague. And in it, he outlined his thinking based on his study of Scripture of how Christians should respond in moments of peril and great illness. Let me read a couple sentences to you from his letter. This I well know, Luther wrote, that if it were Christ or His mother who were laid low by illness, everybody would be so solicitous and would gladly become a servant or helper. One of the problems they were faced with is that when people got the Black Death, were afflicted with the plague, others didn't want to take care of them because it was so contagious. And so oftentimes people would be left to themselves with no one to care for them. And Luther is encouraging people, we should be active as Christians in caring for those who are ill. Everyone, he says, if it were Christ, everyone would want to be bold and fearless. Nobody would flee, but everyone would come running. If you wish to serve Christ and to wait on Him, very well. You have your sick neighbor close at hand. Go to him, serve him, and you will surely find Christ in him. Luther's counsel, Luther's advice to those who were faced with a pestilence afflicting their community was, don't run in fear. This is an opportunity for us to be strong and courageous and act. Now, Luther wasn't suggesting that people should completely ignore their own physical health. And he wasn't suggesting that those who were at risk, especially at risk of catching a contagious disease, should be at the forefront of caring for those who are ill. But Luther reflects the message of Scripture that we must be strong and courageous and act in caring for others, in tending to the needs of others. You know, it was almost like Black Friday at some stores this week. I wasn't there personally, but I read some news reports of people actually fighting over, I'm going to say it again, over toilet paper. That seems to be the essential that we cannot live without. Fights breaking out in stores. I've not yet read a story about someone offering, oh, I took the last roll, I'll let you have it instead. It's in times of fear that society can break down. And we begin to have tunnel vision focused only on our needs, sometimes at the expense of the welfare of others. But it's in times like these that we have a chance to let our light shine. We can be strong and courageous and act in caring for those around us. We can be hospitable. As Mrs. Olson was sharing with us earlier, we can be taking care of others. As certain segments of our population are at added risk of contracting contagious disease and perhaps need to stay home and aren't able to go out and do their shopping, what if we stepped up as a community of faith, reached out to those that we're aware of, and asked, is there a way that we can help you? Maybe there's an older individual in your sphere of influence that you could offer to do their shopping for them this coming week. Or perhaps there are other tasks that need to be done. Over the next few weeks, we're not meeting corporately for worship here all together, but we don't want to get disconnected as a family of faith. While we're taking care of our own families, let's make room in our lives to take care of others. A quick phone call or text or email, or even if you're well and they're well, a personal visit can go a long ways. It can go a long ways in encouraging and supporting others. After all, we should be strong and courageous and act. Nearly 20 years ago, September 11, of 2001. The world shifted. The terror attacks that took place in New York City and on the Pentagon and then that field in Pennsylvania as planes were hijacked and utilized as weapons of mass destruction. United States airspace was closed on September 11. Every plane in the sky had to land as quickly as possible under threat of being shot down. And flights that were coming across the ocean from lands afar were informed they would not be allowed to enter the United States airspace. 38 of these planes ended up being rerouted to a little town in Newfoundland, Gander. Gander only has a population of about 10,000 people. And as the United States airspace was closed and as planes began to land at their little airport, actually it's a fairly large airport for a small community. It used to be United States Air Force Base there in Gander. As these wide-bodied planes carrying hundreds of passengers apiece landed in Gander, the community had a choice to make. And even without anyone being asked, they rose to the occasion. The The 10,000 residents just put their whole lives over the next 4 days into caring for and serving the 7,000 plus people who descended on their small community. They opened their homes. They gave their clothes. They worked round-the-clock shifts taking care of these 7,000 people. Stores simply gave the passengers whatever they needed without charge. The fire truck in town was dispatched with lights flashing and sirens blaring to another community some distance away so they could raid a warehouse of toys. After all, they needed to have something to give the kids. People gave their linens and their towels and washcloths and simply gave them to these new temporary residents of their community. One group of passengers were staying in a church. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, one of them stumbled off the cot they were sleeping on and made her way to the restroom and noticed a group of men sitting in the lobby. And so she walked over there and asked them, "What are you doing here?" It was the pastor and some of the deacons of the church. "Why are you staying up in the middle of the night?" And the pastor says, "Well, we just didn't want you all to be alone if you happened to get up at night. We wanted you to feel like there was someone here who cared." And there was. A whole community that in the face of tragedy banded together to care for others. What an inspiration and an example for us as Christians. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus said. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." We can have peace. And like King David affirmed to Solomon, be strong and courageous and act. Let's be men and women, boys and girls. Let's be a community of faith that acts. In reaching out to others and caring for the needs of those around us, in staying connected during this time of uncertainty in our nation and world, let's be strong. Let's be courageous. Let's act. And we can do all of those three things because we know Jesus. And while others are fearful, we have courage. When others tremble, we can stand strong. When others are immobilized, we can step forward and act because we have the peace that passes understanding. We have Jesus. And because we have Jesus, we are not afraid. Dear Heavenly Father, today we thank you that you are an ever-present help in time of need. We thank you that you are with us, whatever life may bring our direction. Thank you that you give us peace, a peace that passes understanding, and that because we have you, we need not be afraid. We can be strong and courageous and act. We can be your hands and feet ministering to those around us. We can be confident as a world falls apart because we know who is coming to take us home. In Jesus' name we pray, with hope and expectation. Amen.
You have been listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find his church at 11279 Ogden Street, Holland, Michigan, and their church services begin at 10:50 a.m. Access their website at holland22.adventistchurchconnect.org. And the telephone number is 616-355-2877. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.